Welcome to This is Altadena, a podcast hosted by the Altadena Libraries, celebrating people's life experiences and stories and the hidden histories of Altadena, California. I'm Ben Eisen. In this, our inaugural episode, we look at the life and times of Altadena legend, artist Charles White. Library staffer Chloe Cavalier sat down with community members Veronica Jones, Kenny Arts, and Eugene Hutchins for three in-depth conversations about Charles White, his art and legacy, and his ties to our thriving local art community. Then later, our own Aaron Kimbrell chats with resident teen librarian Isabel Briggs about the amazing programs and services offered in the teen department here at the Altadena Public Library.
I am so happy to sit down as we launch this podcast and tie it all in with some of the really important activities happening around town, to sit down with town council member Veronica Jones, who is very involved around town in several community groups, including you're on the board of the Altadena Historical Society. You work closely with the Chamber of Commerce. You were the 2019 Citizen of the Year for the Chamber of Commerce. You're a longtime Altadena resident and have been such a key force for change in this community. And I'm so happy to sit down with you today, Veronica. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, will you tell us a little bit about, I know you've been a key force in the Hidden Histories Project with the library, the town council, and the Altadena Historical Society. Would you tell just a little bit about how that got started and how that ball got rolling?
The Hidden Histories gives our community the opportunity to connect with its past. This connection to the past helps us to really learn who we are, where we come from, and where we can go as a community. The hidden history connects us in such a way that we are all included in our history and helps to complete Altadena's history. It helps complete our story. Our story is important today and for future generations of the Altadena community.
Absolutely. And for as a little background for people too who might not be familiar, Hidden Histories got launched with a couple events, both held at the Altadena Library, Bob Lucas Memorial Library, and the Altadena Seventh-day Adventist Church, where stories were told of Altadena, the stories that are often have been left out historically of the societal narrative. So what do projects, as someone who's so involved in the community and who has a real ear to the pulse of your census tract and your neighborhood, what do projects like Hidden Histories that bring those stories to light mean to communities like Altadena?
This project has been so meaningful to me because it has brought the community together. The stories that are told not by a third party, but they're told by the people that have experienced the history and for so long didn't have a voice or a platform to tell their story, and they got to tell their story, and it was so meaningful to hear it from the mouths of those that have lived and made that history.
Absolutely. And we're so excited. I will share, you're on our steering committee, so to speak, of the Hidden Histories initiative and wanting to really capture those stories through unique ways too, through whether it's through podcasts or through interactive maps. I think we're going to be very creative in how we can get those stories out there, and I'm excited to continue working with you. So before we launch into learning about Charles White and specifically more of the history of art in our community and where it's at today, we ask all of our guests, of course, this is our first episode, but we will ask all of our guests, what is your favorite place in Altadena, or what's a hidden gem that people should know about in the community?
Okay, wow. Altadena has so many places that I love, so many favorite places. It's hard to pick out one. But if I were just to talk off the top of my head today, and one that I use a lot, it would be the main library. And it means so much to me because I was there 50 years ago when it opened. And I would go there after school to wait for my parents to get off from work. That's where we went, and we were safe in there doing our homework. And today I go there to escape, whether it's to sit underneath the tree to read my book, or if it's to browse at the used book and get some bargains for a couple of dollars. I leave there always in a good mood. So it's just on an everyday basis, my favorite place, if there was only one place I would go, it would be the main library. Altadena also, again, just like it has so many places that could be my favorite places, there are so many hidden gems. And I like to think of the mountains and the trails as being my hidden place to go. I really feel like when I'm there, that they all belong to me. Everything that I see, whether I'm walking across the dry river path or what, I feel that I'm in a hidden place in a hidden garden. But really, it's right here in my own backyard because I walk there and I'm there in less than 10 minutes. It's so accessible, but it's also so hidden and my special hidden place to go.
But I think you're right. People absolutely should explore all those little hidden corners of our community. I think over and over again, we hear from community members that what makes Altadena so unique is both its proximity to nature. It's so wild in certain ways, just in our backyard, and then also just the people and the connection. So I think it's so fun to hear about where people spend their time. Well, Veronica, would you do this? Do us the honor of telling us a little bit about Charles White, the man that we are celebrating on today's episode, and who's the park that is named after him is celebrating its 40th anniversary this month. We'd love to hear more about his background.
Born in Chicago in 1918, Charles White was raised by his mother, who would often take him to the public library where he developed an affinity for art and reading. At the age of 7, he received a set of oil paints, which set him on his way to his artistic path. While he did not graduate high school, he was encouraged by his art teachers to submit his work and indeed merit several scholarships to various art schools, who did not accept him because of his race. White did eventually receive a full scholarship to attend the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. While at the Art Institute of Chicago, White became aligned with the new Negro movement, more locally called the Chicago Black Renaissance. The movement advocated for dignity and condemned the laws of Jim Crow and segregation, which introduced White to an extended network of local artists who also sought social change and justice. White's teaching career began at the Southside Community Arts Center in Chicago, then at Dillard University in New Orleans. In New York City, he learned lithograph and etching techniques at the Art Student League. While taking direction from renowned artist Harriet Steinberg, who encouraged him to move beyond stylization to individualization in his figures. Taking Steinberg's advice to heart, White would go on to create his most famous mural, The Contribution of the Negro to American Democracy, currently located at Hampton University. This mural features the likeness of Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, Peter Salom, George Washington Carver, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and Marian Anderson. White's works are still displayed to this day all over the world at places like Atlanta University, the Barnett Arden Gallery in Washington, D.C., the Dresden Museum of Art, Howard University, the Library of Congress, the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Minneapolis Institute of Art, the Oakland Museum, the Smithsonian American Art Museum, the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, Syracuse University, and the Virginia Museum of Fine Art. Following a bout of tuberculosis, which he contracted while serving in the Army during World War II, White headed west to California's drier, warmer climate. White lived in the Los Angeles area from 1956 until his untimely death at age 61 in 1979. During that time, Charles taught at the Otis Art Institute. He settled in Altadena in the last years of his life and left his mark on our community. The effect of his work in the Altadena community continues to this day and will be there for future generations. From 1980 to the early 1990s, Altadena's Charles White Park hosted the annual Charles White Memorial Art Festival, which not only honored his life's work, but also celebrated local artists and brought the community together. He is remembered and honored in our community. Altadena is truly honored to have such a remarkable human being that lived in our community and working to make it a better place for everyone.
Charles White's work continues to give gifts to artists of today, and Chloe was fortunate to sit down with Kenny Arts, a local artist known to many. Kenny is always present at community events and community initiatives. Kenny spoke about Charles' influence on his art and the many ways in which Charles White has left a lasting impact on our town.
Well, Kenny, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. This is an honor as we all remember and honor Charles White and his 40-year legacy, specifically here in Altadena through the park. I'm so glad to sit down with another prolific Altadena artist and be able to talk about him and you and the art scene in Altadena and all of that good stuff. So yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. Charles White was an amazing artist, one of my favorite artists, and so it's a pleasure to talk about him and whatever else you want to talk about
good.
Today.
Well, before we get too much into Charles White, because I want to get there, I realize I don't know a lot about you, and I know you are a man about town. People see you at all these different events. You're at the different coffee stops around town, always capturing these beautiful glimpses of our community. I'm curious, how long have you been in Altadena?
Well, I've been in Altadena for a little over 30 years now. In the area, I moved to Pasadena first and then came up to Altadena. So it's been about 30 years now.
Wow. Okay. Now, what drew you to Altadena originally?
Well, originally my mom was looking for a house, and we were both living in Los Angeles. I was living in Compton. She was living in Linwood. She said she wanted to buy another house, and I just love the mountains. Mm. And I said, there's a community called Altadena, and let's go look up there. So we came up here. She bought a house there. Eventually, I moved to Pasadena to be closer to her, and so that's how I ended up here.
Made your way up the hill at some point.
Blame it on my mom.
Yes. And on the mountains.
Yeah, and on the mountains.
I know nature has had such a pull for artists here. I think our community is unique in that there's so many artists of different media here that I'm curious, as an artist that's known for really capturing these beautiful small moments in our community, how do you see the community now? Like, what stands out to you?
Well, I've seen the community change over the 30 years since I've been here, and I've been painting since, well, the entire time, and I can go back and look at paintings, for example, the corner of Lincoln and Altadena Drive. There's a school there now. Mm-hmm. I remember when it was a gas station, and so I've seen so many changes in Altadena, but there's something that's lasting here. Some of the businesses have changed, but the community itself has always been sort of stable and secure, and that's one of the things I really like about it.
I love that. Have you seen the art scene develop or change? Like, are you connected with other artists in the community?
No, that's an interesting thing. Artists have a tendency to sort of isolate themselves in a studio, which I do. And I don't really know the other artists in this area. I've met a few from time to time. And so, no, I'm not really involved in the art scene. I'm just out on the streets painting a lot.
Absolutely. And I mean, that in a way, it reminds me of the loss that has been not having the art festivals in Charles White Park. I know the 40th anniversary this year of the park really is a celebration too of the art festivals that started, I believe, in 1980, a year after he passed, and carried on into the 90s. I'm trying to do the math. Did you ever experience any of those festivals in the 90s when you first were getting into the community?
I went to participated in some festivals in Pasadena. They were these ones in the parks where you set up a tent and things like that. And I did that for probably 10 years or so. It wasn't financially viable to continue with that, but then I always enjoyed having art out in the public square. So yeah, I do go to those events now, but I don't really show my art there that much.
But not necessarily at Charles White Park.
No, not okay. At Charles White Park, no.
Well, I think I'm so curious because I know when we first pitched this to you as an artist who's now creating now, mm-hmm. who is inspired by his work that has captured, I mean, his career spanned, I think, 4 decades, or he was very active for many years,
yeah.
and his art changed and developed. I'm curious, what draws you to his art and what inspiration or influences have you taken?
Well, what first drew me to his art? Well, who the person that introduced me to his art was another Altadena artist. His name was John Otterbridge, and he was an educator. I think he taught at Cal State Dominguez, and an amazing artist himself. Well, he lived in Altadena. So he knew Charles White very well, and he took me to he and I went to an event one time, and that's when I had a chance to meet Charles White. So I knew about him by then, but as years passed and as I've seen how much respect he has globally, then I'm thinking, wow, I really had a chance to meet a great artist at that time. And
tell me about that meeting.
It was in an event, an art event, and it was a lot of people were there, so I didn't really have a chance to sit down and talk to him or anything like that. It was just sort of a situation where John took me up to Charles White and introduced me to him, so we chatted for a few minutes about art, probably. what else are you talking about when three artists are standing together? But that was my one opportunity to meet him. And not a lot of people know this. The Green Hotel, Castle Green, Charles White had a studio there. It's that that extension that's on the Raymond side.
Okay, sure.
His studio was in that area. So that's something that, you know, and I've painted that a number of times, and every time I paint that, I think about Charles White. So.
Yes. Wow, it's really a powerful thought to think about the legacy of artists that have all been maybe drawn to the same mountains, that have been drawn to this unique community and all of the richness and, I mean, the diversity that makes it this beautiful community, to think about sort of through the ages that has still been an inspiration. And Castle Green, we all have seen Castle Green as we drive by.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, as I look, I wanted to sort of read you a quote, if you would,
sure.
if I could.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, Charles White, Foremost an Artist, his close friend, Edmund Gordon, writes, "At its core, his art was about human dignity, the spirit of hopeful human determination, and the collective strength to carry on in the effort to make the world a better place." Now more than ever, I think we're seeing that his art still speaks so clearly to what we're seeing happen in the country, and I mean around the world in a lot of ways, but specifically in our country with this ongoing fight for justice.
Right.
I'm curious what role you see art playing moving forward as our society continues to grapple with these issues.
Well, let's back up to a time in my childhood.
Please.
I didn't have images of black people, never saw images of black people in artwork. Charles White was one of the artists who really exposed the world to the black culture. And so he was somebody that had a lot of influence of showing the rest of the world the experiences we have. And so I think that's one of the reasons that he was such an influential artist. And the fact that he's a great portrait artist. That's one of the things that I'm not. My daughter is, and so I think that's why she had such a connection with Charles White. But just by being able to draw a person and capture their personality and capture experiences, Charles White was so good with that.
He really did. There's a, I don't know if it's the terminology, if it's a lithograph, but he did of a pregnant woman sort of in profile. It's just so powerful, the essence he drew from her and that what he could capture in very simple sort of monochromatic type work. Like he didn't use a lot of color in some of those early portraits that he did.
Right.
That it's really powerful. And his work changed over time. If I'm not wrong, a lot of his earlier work was more of that portrait style. And as he moved forward, he even did some political type cartoons. I mean, it was more detailed than that. But I wonder, back to sort of that question, what role do you see art continue to play when it comes to representation and seeing faces that look like yours or that children can see that look like them?
Yeah, now, fortunately, artists of all backgrounds, Black, Hispanic, white, everyone is comfortable portraying those images. And so I think that's one of the reasons that you're starting to see the changes in society. You know, it's a combination of education, music, visual arts. Visual arts play a very big part of that. And so when people can not just see themselves, but see other people in ways that they had not really looked at them before, I think that sort of opens up an area where there can be dialogue. And even today, even though Charles White has been gone for decades now, we can still have a dialogue based on his work.
Absolutely.
And so that's how lasting art can be and how influential an artist can be. So it's great to see someone like that, that you can continue to grow from.
Well, so along that line, I know I did a little looking into some of your work that you have online through your website, which is kennyarts.com.
That's correct.
Yeah. People can find you there.
Let's spell that K-E-N-I-A-R-T-S.
Yes, so, love it. Yeah. And I saw that you also have tackled some of that too. You have a series called Growing Up Black in America, and you have some images both of historical figures. I saw John Lewis that you had depicted in a different style than I think I had seen of your work normally, but also some of the images of the recent Black Lives Matter movements. And I'm curious what role art has played in your own life as you explored what it meant to be a Black man in America.
Well, the Growing Up Black in America, GBIA is the acronym for it, is sort of a relaunching of what I used to do back in the 60s. I was pretty active as an artist, documenting political scenes back in the 60s, and I sort of got away from that for a while. But with seeing what's going on in the United States and even around the world now, I felt I had to address that. So it's kind of a new series, but then I intend to continue that as things continue to develop. In 2020 has been an interesting year. And so as an artist, I feel somewhat of a responsibility to respond to these things. So that's what I plan to do.
Is there a catharsis in it, in making some of that? Is there an emotional expression in that? Or is it more capturing? Like, what is the approach to some of that?
Well, for me, I have to have an emotional connection. For example, John Lewis was a powerful, passionate person, but he was a peaceful person. And that's one of the things I admired about him. He was not somebody that would lash out at other people. He was very respectful. And to see that he was kind of dishonored when he passed away by a certain group of people, that really bothered me. And I don't necessarily agree on politically on everything that someone may say, but if they have something to say, I would like to be able to document that. So that's his piece. And you mentioned a different style. That was all pen and ink. I did not paint anything in that except for little small dots of color.
Yes, and on the flag, I think, right?
Right, on the flag, and I put a few petals, red petals on the ground, and that was actually part of the scene. So it's a style that that I've done in the past. For me as an artist, when I paint, I always draw first. If you look at all of my paintings, you'll see a pencil or pen and ink sketch underneath that. And so now I just want to remove the paint and speak directly through drawings. And so it's been fun.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. And there's got to be something. I mean, every artist has a transformation as they go through their career. And like we talked about with Charles White, his art shifted over time and some of how it looked and the subject matter he was tackling. And it's fascinating to think about sort of how art could change from a personal perspective as someone who doesn't make visual art.
Well, here's something interesting. I thought I knew Charles White's work, but at his retrospective, no, it wasn't at his retrospective. It was when they were honoring him at the African American Museum, the show that my daughter participated in. They had a couple of his pieces there, and one was an abstract. complete abstract, and I'd never seen that type of work, and so I was surprised myself.
Yeah.
That I would not have recognized that as a Charles White piece, but it was.
Totally. Do you remember what time period that would have been from in his career, or?
It was later in his career. I don't remember the year because they did have the dates there, but it was later in his career that he did that piece, and it was a pretty large piece. So,
yeah. Oh, it's so interesting. I mean, I know he sort of had, it sort of changed probably as he traveled too. I mean, he was born in Chicago. I know I read that he had spent a lot of time visiting family in Mississippi and lived in Louisiana and then came here sort of to end his life out in Altadena with his family. But it's sort of interesting to think about how that could shift. Have you seen a change in your own work when you moved to Altadena? Did you notice something that you would capture more often?
No, not so much when I moved to Altadena, but there's something interesting going on now. I mentioned, I think, before we started recording that I've sort of come to an end of doing commission work. So now I told my daughter, I said, now I'm going to be a real artist. She said, Dad, you're already an artist.
Yes.
But the point is just explore things based on what I want to do, not based on trying to do something for someone else. And hopefully I can do that and still connect with people. But I intend to start experimenting a little bit and doing some things that I just haven't done before.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see and to track the journey as you move forward.
I hope it works.
Yes.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Altadena. So as we are celebrating this podcast as a celebration of the stories of Altadena, I'm curious, what are some of your favorite memories in Altadena?
Oh, let's see. The changes in the architecture, again, because I'm so connected with architecture and painting scenes on the streets, just some of the things that I've seen change physically with the architecture here. As I said earlier, Altadena is a settled community, and I don't see a lot of changes in there. It's a great place to live. You can depend on it. But I've seen some changes, especially up and down Lincoln Avenue, not so much on the lake, but up, because I painted all up and down Lincoln, I've seen a lot of changes there. And so that's probably the biggest thing I've noticed with Altadena.
It's just to see sort of the progression. You have an interesting lens through which to view it as an artist. You're looking at those details that probably a lot of people miss. What's your favorite place in Altadena?
My favorite place in Altadena.
And for whatever reason.
one of my favorite places is Farnsworth Park because the amphitheater there, I really like that. The architecture of the Davies building is a nice place. And of course, there's some really nice coffee shops here I like too. we can't overlook those.
Yes. What's your go-to drink? I have to know.
My go-to drink is iced mocha. So that's with oat milk.
Oh, so. That's an important distinction.
Oat milk. So, yeah.
Great.
And this is one of the things I miss so much because all of the coffee shops have had to adjust because of the pandemic. One of the places that I just enjoyed painting at the most was in coffee shops because I could capture people sitting down, chatting, and things of that sort. So I miss that, but I still get the coffee.
Oh, good. Now, do you have any, interactions in Altadena? I think what makes Altadena so special is the people, and we all have sort of neighbors that we know and we love, and at the library, we're fortunate to sort of see a little bit of everyone all around town come through our doors, and I'm curious, do you have any special memories that stand out to you about interactions or about the people you've encountered?
Tons of them.
Oh, give me a couple. I want to hear.
I can spend the rest of the day talking about. Well, again, I'm a plein air painter. I paint on the streets, but because of the pandemic, things have changed. So that's one of the things I miss the most, because when I'm painting on the streets, that easel sort of draws people to me, and now I have to be careful about drawing people to me because some people like to come and stand close to the art. But as far as the people, I was painting on Lake, just right near Cafe de Leche, and we're putting advertising out.
Shout out to Cafe de Leche. They've got a great latte. Yep.
So an older guy, older by my age, who's older, but a guy came up and just started chatting with me, and I found out that he had been the principal of, I believe, John Muir.
Oh, is this Dr. Gray? Dr. Lawton Gray?
It could
or
be.
Or a previous principal or current?
No, he's previous. He had retired.
Gotcha.
And so he has a villa in Acapulco or somewhere like that, and he has a large house on Mendocino. Well, he invited me to the house, and he said, right there on the spot, he said, I'm inviting you to go to my villa. So, my artwork is open up, and, you know, I haven't gone. But,
you're taking trips. It's the open up.
And then I've painted, I did a series of liquor stores. This has been 20 years ago, probably. But there had been a lot of gang violence in Altadena, and liquor stores were where, you know, gangs would hang out. So I did a series where I went to all of the liquor stores and set up on their property and painted whatever was in front of me. And I had a chance to meet some of the people there. A lot of great people came and went there. And one I actually survived and made it out when things got a little tough. But but yeah.
That's fascinating.
A lot of people here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in Altadena. We see, we all sort of have driven by. There's the liquor store on different streets and everything. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily think about the intricacies of the lives of people walking in and out right. of these doors of any store in Altadena that you drive by. But that's fascinating. How many paintings did you do in that series?
I'd have to count them, but I'm guessing about 8. Okay. Because that I went to every single liquor store in Altadena. And the last one that I was going to, which is now a sort of a convenience store on Fair Oaks and Woodbury. It was a liquor store at the time, and it burned down before I got to it. And so I don't think the fire was an accident. But anyway, that was the one I didn't paint because it burned on fire. Yeah.
Well, are there any secret gems of Altadena that people should... Are you willing to give away a secret gem of Altadena?
Oh, let's see here. I would just encourage people to drive around in areas where they may not have been before. Mm-hmm. For example, on my way over here, I went down Boulder Lane in Altadena, and there are a lot of historic homes there. They've had I don't think they've had it recently, but the tours where you could actually go in people's homes there. Well, it's worth a drive just to see some of the beautiful homes on Boulder Road. We've got some of the most amazing homes. You'd think that you'd have to go to Beverly Hills and places like that, but... There are some amazing homes in Altadena, and I encourage people to just drive around and drive around on the west side to see some of the homes here as well. So
absolutely.
Just look around. Yeah,
I agree. I think we're sitting right now in our Bob Lucas Memorial Branch Library, and I think a lot of people just drive right by and just don't take the time necessarily to even realize that there's gems like this library, like some of those homes you mentioned that people just don't know about or take the time to see. So I appreciate that suggestion.
And Bob Lucas himself, an African-American, I met his daughter, and he was influential to bring the library here. Mm-hmm. He had connections, and you mentioned going back to Charles White. Yeah. Charles White had a lot of connections with the movie industry.
Oh, okay.
And so that sort of opened up the door for him to be able to have a larger audience there. Well, the same thing was true, if I remember right, with Bob Lucas, that he had connections there. So
interesting. Well, I was not aware of his connections with the film industry, either connections, but with Charles White, was that when he moved to Los Angeles or when he was in this area that developed, or was it even before that he was connected?
Probably so. I don't remember how he got connected, but I do know that he was a friend of Sidney Poitier.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And I had a chance to work with Sidney Poitier myself, so, you know, it was kind of... And at that time, I did not know that Sidney knew Charles White, and I would have brought that up had I known that.
Oh, yeah, the stories. I'm sure there's a wealth of stories there. Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, that's fascinating. Well, I just so appreciate your openness and willingness to share about your experience as an artist and about how you've grown from viewing Charles White's work and I'm so excited to see how the art scene continues to develop in this community and how we can learn to attract more artists like Charles to really come out and share their work in ways that can really change lives. So
yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of artists here that we don't know about, some amazing artists. And so whatever you do to encourage that, I'm supportive of that.
Good. Well, now tell us, what do you want the people to know about what you have coming up? How can we support you?
Well, right now, I'm in a big transition. As I said, I've stopped all of my commissions, and I'm going to just take a little break between now and the end of the year. And begin at the beginning of the year, the sort of over the umbrella of what I'll be doing is called AWESOM, AWESOM, and that's an acronym, Everyday Art on My Easel. That's what that stands for. I don't really sit around and draw flowers and things unless I'm looking at a flower, mm-hmm. but it'll be a way to just show everyday things that people really overlook. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that people just pass by, and that's what I like to look at in my art, and I'll include part of my autobiography in that as well. So if they go to my website, they'll find out about that.
KennyArts.com.
KennyArts.com. K-E-N-I.
I'm trying to get you those visitors.
I appreciate that. But they'd have to be on the email list because I don't bomb people with emails unless I know that they want to do that. But that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to become an artist.
Yes.
After all these years. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And it's just been a pleasure talking to you. So I can't wait till we can open the libraries again and we can see you around painting again.
Yeah. So. When you open it, you'll see me there. Yes. So and thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
It's
an
honor.
To be the first one. And that's quite a privilege. Thank you so much.
Inspired by Charles White's legacy, local artist and community organizer Eugene Hutchins is formulating a plan for a new way to honor Charles White through an arts organization in Altadena. Chloe talked with Eugene about Altadena Arts, a new nonprofit that will bring support to Altadena's artists for years to come.
I am so glad to be sitting here with Eugene Hutchins, a local Altadenan who has come in and been really inspired, I think, by a lot of the stories of Altadena and has been taking some great steps to bring to light new ways to engage in our community and the art scene with history and more. So Eugene, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How long have you been in Altadena?
My wife and I moved to Altadena from Pasadena in 2013.
Okay. What first drew you up the hill, so to speak?
Well, we always loved, just this general area of all the wonderful hiking trails and just so that scenic beauty is one reason why we moved up here. Secondly, is how diverse this community is. And I think to us, we love living in a very diverse community. And so that was another reason. And third, just being in the arts, that to me, just the arts community, its funky, vibe always was very appealing.
Oh, absolutely. Did you know a lot about sort of the history of art in Altadena and about people like Charles White before you came, or were those discoveries you made upon getting here?
I knew who Charles White was to a degree, but I didn't realize there was a park named for him. It was mostly over time as I began to explore the community. But it also began when I just moved in, when one of the neighbors who still lives next to us, who now has lived there for more than 60 years, telling me about Oliver Goodall and being a Tuskegee Airman. And that beginning just opened my eyes to wanting to learn more about my community, about what, how Altadena came to be. And so to me, when I learning about Charles White and the park, it was like, why was there a park named after this amazing artist, which is great. So
absolutely. And you've mentioned before, I know that I think, is it the only park in the US named after an American born artist, or is it one of two?
It's actually one of two parks that are named for artists in the United States, public parks. And which is just absolutely remarkable. The other park is the Omer Bearden Park, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Awesome. Now, you, I think, became aware probably in all of your learning about Altadena history, about the history of the festivals at the park. And I think that that was, correct me if I'm wrong, an inspiration for what is now becoming a new initiative in Altadena that I'm excited to share about and hear about with Altadena Arts.
Well, Altadena Arts wants to, one, you know, elevate the memory of Charles White through many different ways. And because Charles White was such a pivotal figure, both just not as an artist, but also as an arts educator. And also when he passed away, his widow, you know, started being involved with a festival that she really, you know, was instrumental in just bringing that from 1980 into the early 90s, from what I understand. And so knowing the huge community of artists around us, we want to revive that festival so that artists, you know, who there's so many studios and workshops and places here, can have a place to, you know, show their work, sell their work, and also just to bring the community together. Particularly now in our hopefully post-COVID time, we're going to want events that bring people together. Secondly, we want to make sure that we're honoring Mr. White at that park ongoing. So we want to install a monument in his honor as well, so that people can, you know, really, you know who Charles White is and what his amazing contributions are. And then finally, we also, he was an amazing educator. He taught at the Otis College of Art and Design for many, many years. He had generations of artists have been taught by him and inspired by him. And so arts education is going to be part of what we do as well. So we want to kind of bring Charles White back into the schools so that other young people can know who Charles White is and about his artistic work too.
Absolutely. I think it would be so interesting to see that park transform from already what is a beautiful dedication to his name and his contributions, but to bring art back the way that he had envisioned it initially. So I think that's really special. I'm curious, so you mentioned briefly that you are an artist yourself?
Yeah, the funny thing is my experience has always been in the performing arts, you know, in working in opera, theater, music, and dance. I was a director and choreographer and stage manager for many productions all across the United States. And so I've worked here locally, but also, you know, in other parts. But to me, it's nice to be able to bring the arts to wherever I live. And Altadena is such a vibrant, dynamic community in itself with all these artists. So this is a great opportunity to just, you know, bring the arts and make it more integrated into our community.
Absolutely. I think that arts capture moments in time, and they capture sort of not flavors of a community, but it captures all sort of the rich different colors and stories that make our communities these beautiful masterpieces. So I think it's exciting to hear about future things to be looking forward to in the arts scene in Altadena. So I'm curious, where can people find more information if they want to get involved or if they want to learn more? Plug away the Altadena Arts.
Yes. So go to our website at altadenaarts.org, altadenaarts.org, all one word, and you'll learn more about how you can support us or if you want to join us and contact us, because we really, just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to nurture a new nonprofit organization. And we want to hear people's input and ideas. These are just the beginning of this process, but we really want to engage with the local community to make sure that we are doing things that engage them and interest them and helps also make us, again, living up to our unofficial motto, beautiful Altadena.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you so much. And now we always ask our guests, always, I mean, this is a new podcast, but we always ask our guests, are there any hidden gems in Altadena that are your favorite? What are your favorite spots? Like, what should people know about Altadena when they are exploring this community?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing to me. I think one of the things that I love going down is that, you know, finding that up in the trails, you know, there's that hidden waterfall, you know, on there. And it's, I'm trying to remember the exact name of the trail. It's not coming to me right now, but that to me is something that is always very exciting to see, you know, on there, that you're just doing this thing and finally get there. And it's like, whoa, you're in this complete oasis and you're not even an hour from home when you're walking and hiking. And that to me is absolutely amazing. And also, you know, you got to have a sandwich at Perry's.
Absolutely. We love Perry's joint.
You know, they had the best sandwiches.
Yes. Well, thank you. We appreciate you sharing, and hopefully this will continue to share more art in the future and capture more experiences of living in Altadena through your organization moving forward. So we appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Charles White is one example of the many people in our community's history that we look forward to exploring more in future episodes of This is Altadena. If you'd like to learn more about Charles White, don't hesitate to reach out to the Altadena Library. In each episode of This is Altadena, we'd like to highlight some of the exciting programs our library staff have been working on. Our own Erin Kimbrell sat down with teen librarian Isabel Briggs to talk about her upcoming initiatives here at the Altadena Libraries.
For our staff check-in on this episode, I'm talking with Isabel Briggs, our teen librarian and resident dungeon master.
Woo-hoo.
The pandemic has forced all of us well out of our comfort zones, but Isabel, you've harnessed some of your creativity to create unique new ways of reaching out to the community, and they're fun too. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to?
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh.
Welcome.
Yeah, I've only been using some of my creativity. There's
much more.
Coming. No, it's true though. It really has challenged me to reimagine what I think of when I think of like teen services. Prior to the pandemic, I really liked the idea of the library being a space for teens to come to. And now I have, because you can't come to the library has to be a space or like a mood or a vibe that comes to you, I think. So I've been trying to do a lot more social media work in the idea that teens, like the rest of us, are always on our phones. And so If I can bring the library to them through Instagram, primarily I'm on Instagram, then that's a way of sort of changing the idea of space.
Right.
So some stuff that I've been doing is, I used to do a cooking club. It's called the Nom Nom Club. And it was in person in the library, but it did feel sort of limited in what I could accomplish with like a toaster oven in the community room. And the way that we've changed it is that now you get like an ingredients box, like one of those services that, you know, I don't know if I can name drop here.
No, it's fine.
I think it's not a branded promotion.
A place where you can get food in a box to prepare on your own.
Sponsored by Blue Apron.
Yeah, exactly. You can come through curbside pickup and pick up a box that has all the ingredients of the thing that we're going to make. And then I record a video that goes on our YouTube that's a tutorial of how you make the recipe.
Cool.
And I really like that because it means we can do a lot more recipes, because hypothetically you're in your home kitchen, you're working with more supplies. And I like the idea of sort of teaching teens or anyone who's new to the kitchen just some like easy sort of quarantine style dishes that maybe don't have more than 10 ingredients are really good for beginner chefs.
And then it can sort of live forever that way too. Like, I mean, they might not have the ingredient box, but they have the recipe. They have your,
yeah, yeah. Watch the video again. Yeah, absolutely. I've also been doing a lot of programs that really are just videos, like live videos on Instagram, which you, Erin, have participated in. So
it's true.
You will be familiar with this. So I got this idea from a coworker because there's a lot of sort of ghost stories around Altadena and the library. And I thought, oh, it'd be so cool to do a series of videos where we like go ghost hunting. So I purchase, so we got approved to purchase some ghost hunting supplies with the budget from our Library of Things, which means they'll eventually be able for checkout.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then we're filming tutorial videos again of like going around the library in Altadena using this equipment. And that's just been really fun, and I just think it's like good PR in a way. It's just like, it's easy. You can watch it whenever you want to watch it. It's sort of more passive programming. You don't have to be there live, but you can if you want to. And it shows a different side of the library and us as librarians. Like, we're also weird and spooky.
That's for sure. Undoubtedly.
So that's been really fun. And I love the idea that, like, you know.
And I kind of, to me, I like sort of see it as like, it's like a little, if you can't have the space here open, these are sort of like little, almost little like lively lifeboats that you send out to the community.
Oh my gosh,
you know?
I love that. Right, like take this little, like take
we,
this
we
gift
can't be there,
from
we
the
can't
library.
We can't even be there outside necessarily, but here, this is like a little, you know, like a little boat with a candle in it. Out to the,
a little boat with an EMF meter in it, and it's going beep, 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 beep out to the community.
Perfect, yeah.
But yeah, and
beeping,
you know,
its way into your hearts.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. I just think like being really flexible and adaptive about library service and thinking about, you know, not necessarily like, how can I get you to come into the library and participate in this craft and do this thing? It's like, hey, I'm going to do some stuff. If you're into the stuff that I'm into, join in, follow along. If not, like, this is a hard time for everybody. We're all like inundated with content about like kicking the pandemic, kind of like, yeah, here are a million new things to watch on TV. So trying to find like a niche within all of that and just be like, this is my brand, this is the library's brand, this is the like stuff that we do, come find us.
And this is something
in the internet as opposed to like physically in the building. Like,
yeah. And you're also doing things though that are like a service sort of like for teens in the community, like this is like, it's, I see that as kind of like sending things out, but we also have, we're working on other projects where we like have a place for them to come virtually and meet together.
Yeah, so like that's like our Discord server that we built, or I mean built is a strong word.
we're coding night and day.
No, we set some permissions. Yeah, so I like, and I think we've had to try, I mean in libraries all across the country we've had to, there's been a lot of trial and error over the past year. Like, we were all like, yes, Zoom is the thing. Zoom fatigue hit so hard and fast.
Fast. Hard.
And then we're like, okay, what's the other thing that we can do? How do we keep change? Like, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. So we tried Discord, which is this software that is, I mean, it's not that different from Zoom. It's chat, it's video. So we built that server on Rock and Roll, and hopefully,
and it's here and it's ready and it's awaiting,
yeah,
it's people,
it is, and it's like, it's not, I don't know, there aren't a lot of people there yet, they haven't really been using it, but I just like the idea of continuing to try these new things. And you know, the pandemic unfortunately doesn't really seem like it's going anywhere very fast.
True.
So it's here, it's, Corona is with us, and like, I like the idea to, instead
Corona's
of...
Corona's with us, but we're with you.
Yeah, but we, the library, are with you. So I like the idea of maybe even not, like, pushing too fast to sort of, like, go back to the old way of programming, which we've talked about.
Right.
But, like, let's just keep with this. Let's keep trying this. Let's see if this works. Maybe this is a thing that actually people really like and respond to, and we would never have tried it if this really devastating thing had happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, make
what we can.
Exactly. Lemonade. Thank you. It's been very fun. Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's how it's going to end. I think that's it. So yeah. And I would just love to take this opportunity to plug, of course, at Altadena Teens on Instagram. I'm having a lot of fun,
and look for some cool new programs coming up.
So many cool new programs.
Some cool programs.
Oh yeah, big speakers, big programs, big
Sunday
effects. Exactly. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks for joining us.
This is Altadena is produced by the Altadena Library District. It is engineered, written, and edited by Ben Eisen, Chloe Cavalier, Michaela Arevalo, and Aaron Kimbrell. Subscribe to the podcast by visiting your favorite podcatcher, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with more stories and hidden histories of our beloved community next time.